Can you please unmute yourself?
Ladies and gentlemen, and also members from the Department of Police Oversight and Community Safety. It has gone past 9 o'clock. I would like us to start our meeting of the Committee of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts for purposes of looking, among other issues, the report from the Department of Police Oversight and Community Safety, as well as to look on other matters of the committee. Before we may start, can I get an indication of members who are present in the meeting?
Good morning, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maseko.
Good morning, Chair Derek America.
Thank you very much, Honorable America.
Molo Salo, Mbulelo Isaac Silegu.
Siyabulela mkhosi. Now, Honorable Members, as you know, this is the meeting that is held in terms of our standing rules of order, and it's a virtual meeting of the standing committee. Now, I just want to check with the table staff, Mr. Davis, are there any apologies that you have received?
Honorable Chairperson, the only apologies that was received was from Member Aisha Kasim. She's writing examination this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We take note of that. Can I also further find out whether are the members of the department already in?
Honorable Chairperson, yes, the Honorable Minister is in, and the SMT of the department is in, that is led by Advocate Palay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And then good morning, Honorable Minister. Good morning, HOD. Welcome to the meeting of the Standing Committee of Public Accounts for purposes of looking into the report that you have submitted. I know the presentation has also been submitted to members as of Monday, and it's self-explanatory. Now, I'm just going to hand over to the minister if there's any introductory remark that you'd like to make, as well as to the HOD as well. Honorable Minister.
Chairperson, I trust that I'm audible your side.
Very much so, Honorable Minister.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I will leave my video off in order to ensure that I have a stable connection. But once again, good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members of the Standing Committee. Chair, firstly, I would want to say thank you. Thank you so much to you and the entire committee for affording us as a department to brief the committee. We have received an agenda item which read on the successes and the challenges of the Law Enforcement Advancement Plan, including the value for money that is derived from the program. Chairperson, I wish to state categorically that we remain and we are in the business of creating safer communities. We are not in the business of being an insurance broker. As such, I would never want to place a monetary amount or value to a person's life. But furthermore, Chairperson, we have given extensive input into the Integrated Crime and Violence Prevention Strategy, which was adopted by the National Cabinet in 2022. And the Integrated Violence and Prevention Strategy speaks directly to the Western Cape Safety Plan as well, which was adopted in 2019. Chairperson, we have also received numerous requests from provincial departments across our country, namely KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng and Limpopo, wanting to visit our province for an exchange program to learn from our experience, to learn from our best practices and our programs towards community safety. So, Chairperson, I am delighted that we are able to present an integrated capital of our country for a number of years. When he said in 2021, the LEAP deployment, and I quote, he said, they have helped us to work together. Of course, they have increased the boots on the ground and something that we really appreciate. We have seen arrest and recovering of firearms that would have been used for the murders and robberies. He goes on to say, Chairperson, so it's a good thing that we work with LEAP. Now they understand because they were well orientated and we created a very good team with LEAP. They have also helped us to have, they have also helped and have introduced, what he says, they have helped us and we have introduced them to the community of this. Chairperson, am I still audible?
Very much so.
So sorry. He goes on to quote, I don't want to get the station commander's quote incorrect. He goes on to say, it's a good thing that we work with them. They have understood because we work very well together and they are well orientated. He also says that they have been introduced to the community and the community has showed that appreciation. He goes on to say, and I'm going to close soon, Chairperson. He says, I think we need this kind of cooperation between the police, between the city of Cape Town, between the provincial government through the deployment of LEAP officers to continue. This can only strengthen so that we can all enjoy the successes and live in safer communities. That particular station commander is now a general and he is serving in the Eastern Cape. But Chairperson, this presentation will showcase that we are on the right track, Chairperson. It will also showcase that we still have a whole lot of work to do and we have our work cut out for ourselves, but I want to assure members of this committee that we will continue to work tirelessly to ensure that safer communities are created. Chairperson, each illegal firearm, for example, that is retrieved, I see that as a success, as that particular firearm could have been, on average, been used to murder 12 to 14 other people. Its lives saved. Each drug bust, Chairperson, is a success because it works towards dismantling organized crime, which is directly linked to the selling of drugs. So, Chairperson, this presentation will also show where our LEAP officers are deployed and to confirm LEAP is a deliberate and direct approach based on data and evidence. So they are in all of our murder hotspots. So I look forward, Chairperson, to any questions, but equally important, Chairperson, especially knowing the caliber of this committee, I look forward to input around policy directives about standard operating procedures, any input with regards to financial management, if this committee can please take us into confidence and provide those insights and inputs for us to take under consideration because we would want to work with this committee towards creating safer communities for our residents. But once again, Chairperson and committee members, thank you. I'm joined by the SMT team and between Advocate Belay, which will lead the presentation, and then David Kutsia, our CD, together with our CD, Lindy Govender, will deal with the presentation, and we will then take questions or as per your direction thereafter. Maar weer eens, baie, baie dankie, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. With those opening remarks, Honorable Minister, I'm going to hand over then to the HOD and to whoever might be making a presentation. And then also safe to say, as I said, that we have received the presentation as of my Monday. And I hope that all the members had an opportunity to familiarize themselves themselves with it, and therefore without just going through detail by details on it, you can just talk through it so that we can have, if there's a need to interact with it, there can be enough time to actually interact with it. HOD?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. While I wait for the presentation to be flighted, I would also like to make some opening remarks. We are pleased to be able to present to SCOPA this morning. Today is also a testament of how far we've come as the three spheres of government. The hard work and dedication and commitment has paid off. Today, we also launch our evidence-based policing training, which will be undertaken by a multidisciplinary team made up of the SAPS, the City of Cape Town, and the Western Cape government. We are making history, as this has not been done anywhere else in the country. The team will undertake training, and then there will be on-the-ground implementation of evidence-based policing in Mitchell's Plain, which has jointly been chosen as the pilot site. We will definitely be sharing our results with the committee, but then also with our counterparts in other provinces as well. Chairperson, I'm just waiting for the presentation to be flighted. David, if you can please flight it for me whilst I will proceed, Honourable Chair. So in terms of the safety priority, just to provide some background in terms of the safety priority and where we find ourselves today. So in 2014 to 2019, David, you can move to the next slide, the third slide. During the 2014 to 2019, we had the, thank you, David, the provincial strategic plan, and the provincial strategic plan was made up of five provincial strategic goals. The link of safety was in relation to PSG3, which was to increase wellness, safety, and tackle social ills. Thereafter, from the period 2019 to 2024, the current period we are in, the vision-inspired priorities, or VIPs, were launched. VIP 1 is to achieve safe and cohesive communities, and then the other VIPs being growth and jobs, empowering people, mobility and spatial transformation, innovation and culture. Then during COVID, we launched the recovery plan. The recovery plan has three priorities, that being jobs, well-being and safety. The safety priority is underpinned by data and evidence. It is to achieve improved policing and law enforcement, to focus on safety social issues or social cohesion and violence prevention, and then also crime prevention through urban design. How would we do this? By focusing on the drivers of crime, which includes gender-based violence, domestic violence, substance abuse and drugs, alcohol, and firearms. And the LEAP project or program is linked to the safety priority in, as David will show later on in the presentation, where we'll focus on the drivers of crime in priority areas across the Western Cape province, and with a specific focus on areas with the highest rate of murder. All these areas are within the City of Cape Town metropole. Chairperson, I just want to also indicate that we have, as you have alluded to, sent a presentation that was circulated to members. Our presentation this morning, which we are flighting, is deferring slightly because we have extracted some of the high-level information which we believe should be emphasized and highlighted to the committee today. David, if you can move to the next slide. Just to cover some of the powers and functions of the LEAP officers, and as you can see, importantly, in red, LEAP officers have the power to arrest a person without a warrant. So they do have the powers of a peace officer, and a person arrested without a warrant must, however, as soon as possible, be brought to a police station. So there are joint operations that take place under the command and control of the SAT station commanders. So LEAP officers are working in conjunction with other law enforcement agencies, including the South African Police Service. The power to search an arrested person and to seize an article, also in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. And as we show later on in the presentation, there have been numerous firearms, ammunition, and drugs that have been seized as well. Issue a written notice indicating the compounding of certain minor offenses, and then issue a written notice as a method of securing attendance at a magistrate's court, and then the powers conferred in terms of Section 3341A of the Criminal Procedure Act, that the Minister of Justice may confer powers on the peace officers, and this is limited to certain offences, for example, by law enforcement, liquor, as well as aspects of Firearm Control Act. The Liquor Authority, as you know, also falls within the domain of the Department of Police Oversight and Community Safety, so they are joint operations on the ground with the Liquor Authority as well. The power to demand the name and address of specific categories of person, and then the execution of warrants of arrest as well. David, you can move on. In terms of the scope of the department's role in LEAP deployments, this just gives you background. We do have a transfer payment agreement with the City of Cape Town, and we do fund the City of Cape Town. The City of Cape Town does submit a business plan to the department. It's a business plan that we need to agree to, and there's close monitoring by the department, which you will see later on in the presentation, in relation to both operations as well as reporting in terms of budgetary spend as well. Next slide, David. David, you can take over. Thank you. David, if I can hand over to you. You are on mute. Chair, I'm not sure if David can hear me, but I can continue until he unmutes himself. So just in terms of our data-led and evidence-based approach and deployments, and as I alluded to, the evidence-based policing training and model is being launched today. So it's in terms of what are we faced with in murder and crime, where does this take place, the location, when does it take place, and why, in terms of motives, which could be gender-based violence, it could be gang-related, who are the perpetrators as well as the victims, and how, in terms of whether it would be gunshots or whether stabbings, etc. We find in the Western Cape, most of the murders are committed by shootings or firearms. The next slide, David, I'm not sure if you were able to unmute yourself. David, if you can continue. Apology, Chair. David was having some challenges with his computer this morning. I will continue, no David. And I'm going to continue, and I'm hoping David would be able to come in. Apology.
Sorry, HOD, there's a hand of Killian. I see.
Thank you, Chairperson. HOD, David Kutsia is having challenges with unmuting himself. He is trying to sort it out, and he will join as quickly as he can.
Okay. In the meantime, HOD, you may proceed.
Yes, I will proceed. So just in terms of the data sources, it's health data, so our forensic pathology data, data and information on crime trends and statistics both that are officially launched at Binational, but then also client trends and information that is provided at local station level, and then information from the Liquor Authority on their operations, information that we acquire from our community-based partners, which are the community police forums, neighborhood watchers, whistleblowers, and other community structures, and then also area-specific information that is provided. We have also just launched a safety dashboard. So they, the dashboard has two aspects to it. There's a public-facing dashboard, and that is derived from information from the Department of Health and their HECTA system, but then also a law enforcement dashboard, which we are reflecting areas where there's crimes, the arrests that have been made, where confiscations are happening, etc., in terms of LEAP operations on the ground together with the SAP. So we're very proud of this achievement that this dashboard is in place, and we would then be able to draw information from this dashboard, which will inform our operations going forward to ensure maximum impact. Next slide, please. In terms of the LEAP deployments, LEAP officers are permanently deployed in the 13 high crime areas. 10 of them are the murder stations, and as I've indicated, the murder stations fall within the city of Cape Town Metropole. These areas include Delft, Guguletu, Harare, Khayelitsha, Kraaifontein, Umfolani, Mitchells Plain, Nyanga, Philippi East, and Samora Machel. LEAP officers are also deployed to Atlantis, Bishop Lavers, and Philippi, specifically Hanover Park. We have a reaction unit. This reaction unit is a reaction unit that is deployed when there is urgent matters that need to be attended to in areas that are outside the normal permanent deployment areas. The reaction unit is currently deployed in Ottery and Steenberg in order to stabilize the areas. But it is a unit that can be moved around across the city of Cape Town Metropole as the need arises. Next slide, please. In terms of the LEAP successes, this is an example of LEAP officers that are deployed per station. As you can see, it's not static deployment where you have an equal number of LEAP officers deployed across the 13 priority areas, but the LEAP deployment is based on the need that arises in those specific areas. Next slide, please. David, I trust you're unmuting yourself in the process as well. Next slide, please. Okay, in terms of LEAP members and the deployment began in April 2020, where 500 officers were deployed. And then in May 2023, there's been a total of 1,235 LEAP members, which is made up of 999 officers on the ground, 152 commanders, and 134 operational support staff members. There are LEAP officers that are currently in training, and it is an ongoing process, and some LEAP officers awaiting their appointment letters from the SAPs. We have a close working relationship with SAPs in that regard. Previously, there were some challenges, but now this is being prioritized by the SAPs, and whilst the officers are waiting their appointment documentation, they are deployed at malls, schools, and wards in the priority areas or murder stations across the city of Cape Town Metropole. So they supplement and complement the operations that are already taking place in those areas. You can move on, David. In terms of LEAP value, there has been a total of 428 murders that were recorded in quarter four. There was a decrease by 9% from 468 cases in 21-22 to 428 cases when one were compared to the previous, the same period in the previous year, and then also in terms of the murder reduced in the 8 lead precincts, decreased in 8 of the lead precincts, and then it is the first time in Leeds' three-year history that so many precincts recorded a decrease as well. And then Leeds is showing a decrease in 9%, but then also a decrease when we look at the crime stats of the Western Cape has shown a decrease of 14%, whilst the rest of the country has shown an increase in murder. And this increase can be attributed, a decrease in the Western Cape can be attributed to LEAP deployment and extra visible policing in the murder stations, where LEAP officers are supporting the SAP station commanders in those murder precincts. Honorable Chair, I noticed there is a hand that has been raised. I think Julian's hand is up again.
Yes, Julian.
Okay, sorry, I'm linking now on Julian's computer so I can take over, actually. Sorry, my computer doesn't allow me to unmute.
Okay, no problem, David. Over to you. Thank you.
Okay, so it's part of the LEAP successes until we started way back in 2020, there's been 1,183 dangerous weapons seized. There's been a total arrest of over 16,780. And then very important is 368 firearms have been confiscated. And then also focused on the drivers of crime, the firearms and alcohol and narcotics. This is just some of the successes that LEAP have been involved in: confiscation of tick, the lollies, the bottle, various bottles of alcohol, liters of alcohol confiscated, and then the tick straws, and then also mandrax. So we know that this is a major problem, and they've succeeded in those 13 areas to address these issues and taking these drivers of crime out of the equation. So just to, as we now indicated that LEAP, we're going to come to the success, but just to show that murder in South Africa, that this Western Cape government, we and the province received a 13.1% reduction in murder. So murder increased by 3.4% overall in the country in the fourth quarter. And then in the Western Cape, there was a decrease. And as you can see, compared to Northwest, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Free State, also there were only three provinces that actually achieved a decrease in murder, while the other province had a quite a substantial increase in the murder rate. Then just overall, also just to illustrate again that in the Western Cape, there's been a total of 4,114 murders, and this is an increase of 0.12% of the total number of murder cases compared to the previous year. Nationally, the murder overall has increased by 8.3%. This represents a stabilization over the year, and this quarter has indicated the lowest number of murders in the quarter to date. And so since 2020, we haven't actually seen such encouraging figures. And this is technically, we want a zero murder rate, but I think this is making an impact and it's moving towards addressing the issue relating to murders. This is just a very detailed slide giving of the 13 LEAP priority areas. It gives you an indication where there's been an increase. The red indicates the increases, but noting that the increases are also still below what the national average is, and then the other color is basically the areas where there's been a decrease, and you can see there's some areas have been showing high decrease, linking to the minister's statement that we no longer can be seen as the murder capital because this deployment of LEAP is making a difference on many safety issues within these 13 priority communities that we focused on. This is just a percentage graph, also just showing all 13 areas from Delft and then what the percentage increase or decrease is in the area. And then we're noting that also that the LEAP areas has shown an increase of 3.28%. It's slightly higher than the provincial average, but it's very much lower than the 8.3%. And then the murder is decreased in 7 areas. And then it's remained stable in Samora Machel. And then the precincts where it has increased is Delft, Nyanga, Philippi, Mitchell's Plain, and Philippi East. So just then also to note that LEAP officers receive very extensive training. It's about a 70-day course where they go through various models. They are trained for firearm competency, and they train to the same standard as which SAPS would. So what we've now done with this is also just to show that after the training, we do go out and we review how they function in the field, and then based on the assessments on their functionality, we then also undertake actions to address deficiencies. So also like under LEAP officers, we try a phase-in approach where new officials get exposed to less violence communities. They learn experience, they learn the communication, learn the techniques, and then they get deployed into the hard spots. The training process is a partnership with City of Cape Town, and as we find in our evaluations, we need to amend the modules of training, then that would be taken up with Cape Town, and then we will address those specific. Something like statement taking was a previous issue, and we have then addressed that and made sure that the officers are able and capable to do proper statement taking. Communication skills and around mediation and dealing with our communities in a dignified manner is also something we look at, and we also then make sure that our LEAP officers are capable of then dealing in the proper manner. As you saw, the powers that they have, I think it's also people and communication and treating communities with dignity is also very important, and we make sure that they are competent in that. Also, what we do as LEAP operate in these high-risk areas, they're also trained to be able to deal as a first responder. Although they're more tactically inclined, we also enable them to deal with some basic first aid responses in high-risk areas. What happens is between SAPS, City of Cape Town, and a Department of Police Monitoring Oversight, is that the strategy is designed in collaboration. So we look at a local area profile and then deal with these communication and command issues. Relationship building is then also very key, and that is something also that we look at an integrated approach at local, and even bringing NPA into some of these local discussion forums where they can assist us to look more holistically and address the organized crime issues in those local communities. Okay, there is, so basically deployment in these areas is on a 24/7 basis, and SAPS and LEAP have integrated objectives and they work together to achieve these objectives, and we regularly report then on the successes. There are regular scheduled monthly stakeholder management platforms, and that is where we then speak to the leaders, where we look at how we can influence and then implement data evidence-driven deployment to actually achieve a better success rate. There's also, we may also make use of the ombudsman, where information is disseminated and shared, and where you would then look at like an oversight role. And then there's also continuous engagement to look at factors that can cause blockages in this between LEAP, SAPS, and FOX. And so it's also very focused on problem solving. That and we've noticed that each of these areas has a specific character and needs a specific solution. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so we also make sure that we try and that we implement the most appropriate strategy for the LEAP region that we're operating in. Okay, as you mentioned briefly, that communication is important to all stakeholders, and then it's also important to then share communication with local stakeholders, local community. Spoken about the LEAP coordination is where we have this whole integrated approach of law enforcement, SAPS, City of Cape Town, Parks, MPA, all part of the LEAP, and then looking at local solution and problem solving of complex crime issues in that community. There's also been the introduction of community engagements in the area between law enforcement, and we're also looking at how we align and bring neighborhood watch, the CPS, as part of the solution. So law enforcement is to stabilize the area, but then as the HUD indicated, it's to bring that social priorities and urban design once an area is stabilized, and how do you create sustainability in that specific area. So as also mentioned, that everything that is done is focused on data and evidence. So when LEAP is deployed, they have to do a handover and shift handover, and it's based on crime pattern analysis, so that we go to focus on the drivers of crime, firearm-related, alcohol-related, look at how we can reduce murder. So it's over 44% of murders are socially related. By bringing the social factors in, we can effectively deal okay, thank you. And then I'll hand over to Lindy, which will do the funding.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. I will take you through the next few slides. Thank you, David. So we would like to just highlight that the department, or the Western Cape government, has invested over R1 billion in the LEAP project. And if we look at including the allocations we still have over the next two financial years, it is actually in excess of 2.5 billion. The current allocation for 23-24 is at 350 million, which you'll also see in the next slide. And we would like to highlight that a further 10 million rand has been allocated for the establishment of LEAP stations in this financial year. In terms of the criteria for the funding, we wish to just highlight that the LEAP was implemented as a direct result of the Western Cape Provincial Safety Plan. And through LEAP, we're prioritizing the reduction of murder, and therefore the areas with the highest homicide rates in the province has been prioritized. So it's basically based on the homicide reports from the Department of Health, coagulated with the SAPS crime statistics, so that the stations with the highest murder rate located within the city of Cape Town is then prioritized. So therefore, the homicide rates is the main criteria for the allocation of the LEAP funding, and as mentioned, the focus is on those priority areas. In terms of a bit of a financial analysis, we'd like to share some historical information with you in terms of the funding commitments from both the Department of Community Police Oversight and Community Safety, as well as the City of Cape Town. So this slide reflects on all the transfers that we've made to the City of Cape Town since inception of the project in 2019-2020. You'll see it started off at an amount of 130 million, which was transferred during March of 2020, and it significantly grew to 417 million in year two. There you would see that there was a drop thereafter, mainly as a result of the impact of COVID-19. But then it stabilized again in 22-23 to 400 million, and we now add 350 million for the current financial year, as well as the next 2 years of the MTEF. If we can move, thank you. So this slide is just reflecting the split in allocations, both from the Western Cape government side and also the City of Cape Town side towards the LEAP, and you'll see that the expenditure split has remained in the region of 75% from the Western Cape government and 25% from the City of Cape Town, and that has been achieved throughout the duration of this project. And at the moment, we will reflect on this as well in the two future slides. The spending there, we just wanted to highlight, the allocation for the current year, not the spending, is 400 million for the Western Cape government, and then the City of Cape Town's contribution for this financial year is 133 million, so it's on par with a 75-25% split. In terms of the spending of contributions, we would just like to reflect on the spending of both the contributions from the city side and from the Western Cape government side. So this slide reflects on the Western Cape government portion of contributions and then the spend for each of the financial years on the slide. So you'll see since inception, there has been some years where there's been underspending recorded, mainly 2020-21 due to the impact of COVID-19. But you can see that has been, the spending has significantly picked up then in 2021-22. And currently we are at 306 million. Spend of the 400 million allocation, and we just received an updated report at the end of May where it's actually now at 80% spend of the Western Cape government contribution, so that is on track in terms of the achievement of that spend for the financial year. If we can just show the City of Cape Town spending, so there you also see again a significant underspend in the year 2020-21 as a result of COVID-19, but then that has also picked up, and currently we're standing on an 80.6 million spend of 133 million allocation, and this is at 23 May, so there is still time, and they are still in process of making various allocations in terms of their system to provide us with updated reports, and then by the end of June we would have a better idea of whether there will be any underspend, but at this stage, the indications are that they're also on track in terms of the spending of the allocation of this financial year. In terms of the challenges, since the inception of the project, there was various challenges that was faced being a new project, and if you also consider the significance and the size of the project, one can anticipate some teething problems. So initially there has been some problems on the delays in finalizing our transfer payment agreement and the business plan. There was also changes in management on both sides of the city and also on the department side. So that also had a bit of an impact. We have misaligned financial reporting periods. As you know, the city's year end is June and ours is March. So that there was also challenges that came from there in terms of the reporting systems that they use. So that has been resolved since. So we have found ways of getting around that. The main impact has been COVID-19. So that definitely impacted on the ability of the city to to do their recruitment, but also to provide training and then also procurement. So service providers were also affected by COVID-19. As mentioned, the procurement of uniforms, vehicles, firearms and other equipment, as well as our facility renovations, was severely impacted. And there's initially been delays in also recruiting of permanent staff that provided training and support. But I can say that through the strengthening of the governance structures that's been put in place since, these structures closely monitor spending. They closely look at any risks that might come up, and they put measures in place to mitigate those. So I think that's the challenges has really been dealt with as it comes up, and we believe that it is being mitigated and managed sufficiently so that it limits the impact on both spending but also on the operations of LEAF. Thank you so much. I'll hand back to HOD.
Thank you very much, Lindy and David, Honorable Chair and members. That is our presentation for this morning, and we will field any questions.
Thank you very much, HOD, and once again, thank you very much to the Minister. Thank you very much also to your team for such a very comprehensive presentation. I would just want to check from our Honorable members whether are there any questions of point of clarity that you'd like to have, if I may have an indication. While I see this Honorable Matodi, can we, you may continue then, Honorable Member, if I've got any question from my side. I see Honorable Seleku as well, and then I will put up my questions after you. In that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Chair, and again from the Department and Minister, thank you for the very high-level presentation. I don't have a lot of questions, Chair. I just want to find out maybe, firstly, if we can have that slide, let me check from my laptop, the last slide that talked about the transfer payment agreement, that there was a delay in the because of the business plan. I want to find out the reason behind that, because in my mind I'm telling myself that when you allocate a certain amount is based on the idea that you already have. I'm trying to break it down to myself so that I can understand and you can hear me to get an answer to my question in helping me. So I tend to believe there is a business plan. That is why you commit a certain amount. Now, if you say there is a delay of the transfer because of the business plan, what is the rationale of an allocated certain amount if the business plan is not there yet? And I think this is for a specific reason that I'm interested to hear. And another thing is, say, if I can find out from the department, I mean, there is an ecosystem. And when you mention your successes, I tend to believe that one way or another, or the challenges, you look at the ecosystem of, you can have about the 16,780 arrested. But where do those people end up? Are you not having a challenge of them being put back because of the system? I mean, you are not in the sight of the judiciary. So I want to find out the engagement with the judiciary, as you see, or as we read in the newspapers, the repeat offenders that you'll find that they've been arrested, but they are out one way or another. So that is one of the challenges that we are seeing, I think. And how do you now try to make sure that you see value
in what you do put into the system of trying to assist with crime. The third one, it will be the drug busts that are happening. Is those figures in the metro only, or it includes also in the whole province? And if it includes the your numbers or the data is also including in the rural areas? It's a weird question, but maybe it will make sense after. Where were those drugs going to? Were they coming to the city? The transporting was coming to the city or was going out of the city? And I'm asking this because in the rural areas also we have challenges that I would love to see if maybe the province will also invest in the rural, especially on the drugs. We do have a school that I visited in Porterville that the kids are jumping the fence to go and buy weed next to the school, the drugs that the teachers, they now act as security patrolling the fences. So the drugs are going outside of the city, or with the successes that you come, do you see that now they are not, you have sort of closed the boundaries of those drugs getting out so that you can have another strategy to or invest in the rurals to fight the drugs that are being sold in the rural areas. I think for now, Chair, that I will take three, but I still have another questions. Or do you want me to ask all of them now?
No, I think Honorable Masego, just ask at once your question. Maybe they will all might be answered, all of them, if we may just do that.
Okay, thank you very much. Another one, if I can ask about the policy changes that, we would like to see in the province. Is there an epitaph from the department? How do you, and I know it might be a little bit, Chair, if I'm out of order, you can call me to the order, but I want to hear, is there any policy changes that the department would maybe suggest to us as legislators that maybe you see that we can be able to empower you to for the success of the department in making sure of fighting the...
Honorable Masego, you breaking us? Or you finish? Let's do Honorable Seleko.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I hope you can hear me.
Very much so.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me first appreciate the presentation from the presenters and also convey my morning greetings to the Minister. Minister, mine will go to your opening remarks. As one would want to welcome, interaction from the different provinces pertaining to issues of safety, and I would just want for you, Minister, just to elaborate in terms of your engagements with the other provinces. Just to share, what engagements are you currently having with other provinces, pertaining to issues of safety that can actually assist provinces in fulfilling their role of oversight when it comes to policing functions? That is the first question. And secondly, Chair, I would just want to know, whether one can ask or can compare life saved, to a monetary value. And then because one will always find, in instances where we deal with about life, that some people would find to try to justify why a particular initiative should not be supported, trying to compare it, to say, can you tell me, the value of money, you know, are we actually getting value for money, you know, in this particular project or the program? So is such a question justifiable? And then, you know, is it possible for the department to actually compare life, you know, to a monetary value? That is the second question. And the third question, Chair, is also in terms of discipline, you know, amongst the LEAP officers, you know, because we are used to words, you know, excuse the pun, to scope and donor when it comes to police services. You know, can the HOD just elaborate with us in terms of challenges when it comes to conduct from the LEAP officers? Is there any challenges of such? If there is, how are they actually dealing with it to make sure that they are there to serve? I think those are the first three, Chair. If there is any, I will follow up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seleku. Needless to say that you've overtaken one of my questions, but maybe what I will do, I'll just expand maybe a little bit on it in terms of the minister's interaction with other provinces. Because I think in adding on that, I want to check with the minister maybe because I've seen recently there seem to have been a similar initiative that has been launched in the province of Gauteng. It's always good actually to actually exchange best practices and actually share these best practices. I will further maybe ask to what extent does the minister also share best practices or exchange best practices with other provinces? And maybe he might be aware that there might be other similar projects that might be launched in other provinces, as it has already been done in the province of Gauteng. I just want to check as to what similarities can the minister draw from some of these practices. The other question is generally financial in nature, because part of the reason it was an indication when we were sitting during the annual report that there seems to have been some discontinuation. The project might be discontinued due to lack of finances. I just want to check whether has that actually been resolved, or is that still the challenge or a threat to the program? And I must also just applaud the province in the relationship that they are having. There seems to be a very good tripartite relationship between the province, SEPs, as well as the city of Cape Town. And I think that's what actually seems to be making the project working very well. So for now, those are really my questions from my side. I don't know whether if maybe Honorable Maseko, I see she's back, she was having some connection problem. Maybe you will learn to finish up, or you will find. Otherwise, we will give Honorable America, because I see his hand is up. Honorable Maseko first.
Yeah, no, Chair, thank you very much. I did put the question in the chat. I just wanted to ask if the department, what is the policy changes that the department would want to see specifically in policy?
Thank you very much. Honorable America.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just have two questions, and one relates to the command and control. Where does that lie? Does it lie with the partnership with the City of Cape Town? Does the City of Cape Town exercise command and control over the deployment and operations of the LEAP officers? And secondly, what is the oversight role that the department plays over the appropriation or expenditure or the flow of funds that is being transferred to the city of Cape Town? What oversight role does the department play in terms of that particular aspect? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm going to hand over back to the department and the minister.
Chairperson, thank you so much. Between myself and HOD and potentially Lindy, we will navigate the input and the questions based on the questions that were asked. I'm already very confident that the committee is already contributing value to this particular program. Chairperson, I want to state again that I have no doubt that we are making great strides and we continue to monitor spend in terms of this particular program. Lindy will revert to the specifics with regards to the delays in terms of the business plan, but I need to state for the record that this particular program and the presentation dates back to its inception, and those delays and those challenges that we have experienced and have listed have been dealt with. But I will let Lindy come in and provide some of the specifics in that regard. But Chairperson, when we discussed this particular presentation, we were very clear that we were wanting to take Scopa into our full confidence, so Scopa can actually see to land such a program since 2019 has had challenges, but there were so many learnings that we are taking out of it in moving forward. And we are obviously then having now be in a position to better plan moving forward, but also make sure that some of these best practices can now be shared with other provinces. And I will touch on that particular question as well. The question, Chairperson, with regards to the drug bust. This particular presentation was very specific with regards to the successes of the LEAP program. Hence, those drug busts are only in the city of Cape Town where our LEAP offices are deployed. I would be remiss again, Chairperson, to not indicate some of the successes that we have seen in our rural safety units. The committee members will be aware that actually the biggest drug bust for this particular financial year was due to the cooperation of our rural safety unit in the Swartland area and the South African Police Service. And specifically, the rural safety unit and the K9 unit that is attached to that particular safety unit, where a number of blocks of cocaine, including a mandrax, including a number of firearms, and HOD, I'm not wanting to get the number incorrect, but I believe it was over 20 firearms that was also sniffed out, and that's in our rural areas. So we also provide funding in terms of the rural safety units, and we have it in the Swartland area because we have identified, and the crime stats have identified, a drug route on that particular N7 and the West Coast area. And there has been amazing successes in that regard. We would be happy in the near future to report and to be interrogated on our rural safety initiatives here in Scopa as well. But we also have one in the Overstrand, which looks at abalone poaching, which looks at the transportation of illegal firearms, but also of drugs, because those industries is closely linked to organized crime. And like I've indicated in my opening remarks, we are wanting to dismantle organized crime. We are wanting to make sure that those criminals are actually behind bars, and we make their life as uncomfortable as possible by making sure that they are arrested and they are tracked. So the question specifically is that the drug bust and the successes is in the city of Cape Town, but we do amazing work and continue to do work in our rural areas as well with regards to the amount of illegal known drug houses, but also the drug bust that happens outside of the city of Cape Town. And Overstrand and Swartland is key examples in that regard. Chairperson, with regards to policy changes, we are on record, Chairperson. We have written to the National Minister. We have written to the Commissioner. The Premier has also written to the President in this regard. We firmly believe that in terms of national policy and policing powers, that in terms of the Constitution, but also the current policies in place, that powers can be devolved to a provincial government. We are continuing in that manner to engage constructively, Chairperson. And that constructive nature is landing during our BINMEC meetings. Some of the questions came that was posed now was also linked to our engagements with other provinces. I can confirm that myself and the HOD, during our MINMEC engagements and since my appointment, I've not missed any MINMEC meeting for the South African Police Service. And we are active participants in that particular forum. There we relay some of our concerns, some of our challenges, but also some of the successes. We are delighted, Chairperson, that we have been able to foster genuine working relationships with SAPS here in the Western Cape, but also in other provinces, wanting to make sure that we ultimately create safer communities. I can also say that a huge part of input, if we look at the CPF funding, we have now received confirmation that SAPS legal at the national level, together with the civilian secretariat, has already established a working group to look at the CPF funding model and how that can be rolled out. So we are consistently making input, policy directives and changes that we see could ultimately work for the benefit of our residents and not only here in the Western Cape, but across our country. Another question, Chairperson, was asked with regards to the monetary value. Attaching a monetary value. I want to echo again, as per my opening remarks, that I would never, and I would be at pains, Chairperson, to put a monetary value to a person's life. We are in the business of community safety and creating safer communities because we know if we look at the last quarter and the crime stats, there was 143 people less murdered in our province, hence the 14.1% reduction. But that 143 people represent families, they represent communities, and we know that whenever there is a person that is murdered, it creates such a lot of fear and trauma in communities. So I would be at pains to ever want to say that there is a value attached to it. But I think the data is very clear. When murder is increasing across our country, and Chairperson, we have seen with the rise of unemployment, with the rise of socioeconomic circumstances across our country, bearing the brunt of COVID-19, which has affected the entire world, which was out of the control of everyone, but it affected the entire world essentially, and that has led to communities having more trauma, having more pain, and to a large extent when we consider the crime categories and the murder categories. It is alarming considering that many of those murders will be outside of the law enforcement and the policing aspect of it, where it is directly linked to, for example, misunderstandings and arguments between friends, between partners, and even between friends that have been friends for a very, very long time. But we continue to work with other departments in that regard, knowing that our department is the lead in terms of the safety priority, and we work with social development, which is a key pillar in terms of the fight against gender-based violence, but also in terms of making sure that there is well-being within our communities, and working with the Department of Health. We look at mental health, which is to a large extent also stemming back from COVID, which has increased a lot in our country and in our province. With specific question with regards to the command and control of our LEAP officers, And here again, Chairperson, we are on record that, and I don't think I need to state the following, but I would want to again take the committee into my confidence. We have seen that whenever there's LEAP operations, first and foremost, the South African Police Service is the lead policing agency in terms of the constitution, in terms of policy, and in terms of legislation. So SAPS is the control and the command. LEAP works alongside the South African Police Service in that regard, but we also do operations where it is only LEAP officers. So it is a two-pronged approach. There is joint operations, considering that there is planning that takes place, and the department, together with our LEAP chiefs in the various areas, play a meaningful role and a direct role in those operations. And I would be happy to take some of the committee members to some of these precincts and to hear firsthand from the South African Police Service on how that integration is working, how that collaboration is working, because we have seen great strides being made in that regard. On our oversight role, Chairperson, we are very clear that we meet regularly, and Lindy will give the actual timelines to it, but we meet regularly with the City of Cape Town. We monitor the spend. The underspending that was allocated in the year 2021 was also directly attributed as a result of COVID, when training of LEAP officers could not take place. But we have made up in that regard to make sure that the training colleges and by the City of Cape Town, that we will be able to get the boots on the ground, so that we can actually see a meaningful difference. But I must say, Chairperson, I welcome the input and the questions and the manner in which this engagement has flown this morning. If I wasn't clear on anything, I would be able to, if there's any person of the HOD and Lindy has answered, we will be able to take another round of questions and input, so that we can ultimately do justice to this particular time that you have so graciously allocated to us this morning. But HOD, I see you, and if Lindy can potentially come in with some of the financial questions.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you, Honourable Chair and members, for the question. I am going to provide some feedback and a response and some input in terms of some of them, and then I'm going to hand over to the Chief Directors, David Kutsi and Lindy Govender, to also add. So just in relation to the delay in finalizing the transfer payment agreement in the business plan, as Minister has already mentioned, some of the challenges that we faced are historical challenges, and we did want to be open and honest with SCOPA to indicate what are the challenges that we have experienced since inception of the LEAP project. As you must know that this project, or the magnitude of this project, it was the first time that this was undertaken by both the Western Cape government and the City of Cape Town. So the Premier did mention this when he took up office in 2019, but then the hard work started after his inaugural speech as Premier, where both the City of Cape Town, as well as the department where we were community oversight then, had to come together, the officials, and then outline how we were going to deliver on this joint mandate. Considering the amount of money that was also involved, we wanted to ensure that we were going to be diligent, but then also do this in a cost-effective manner and ensure that we comply with all the financial prescripts as well. So it did take some delay in us getting this off the ground. The other issues were in relation to CapEx expenditure, which were in the main once-off expenditure, where we had to set up the infrastructure, if I can say, to run this project. So it's just not about having these boots on the ground, but you need to ensure the firearms were kept safe, etc. And we had to make provision for the city to be able to put this in place so that we deployed responsibly at the end of the day. And then there were issues during COVID. As you know, during certain levels of COVID, the in-person training could not take place. So the training was put on hold. And then also procurement came to, you know, in certain areas, especially with the vehicles, it was severely impacted and came to somewhat of a standstill because we could not, the city could not continue with the procurement on vehicles during that COVID times due to the constraints nationally as well. So that was some of the challenges that we faced in the past. I do believe now we are operating more like a well-oiled machine. We know what is expected from both parties, the city and ourselves. But then also it does involve evolving over time. We would like to see, for example, the LEAP evaluation being built in to the funding agreement so that we're measuring impact. We are engaging with the Department of Mobility to roll out equipment and apps, handheld devices that we'd like to see the LEAP officers carry so that deployment is from your home, that you do not have to travel and spend 2 hours in a day to collect your firearm, that you know what your program for the day is. We are able to track you to ensure that the deployment is happening in the areas where it is going to have the most impact to keep our community safer. So that evolving and conversations and discussions and engagement also at times delays finalization. But at the end of the day, it is towards, you know, a good end in what we want to achieve as a collective. In terms of policy changes, I'd just like to add, this is something that we are challenged with nationally. It's the oversight over law enforcement. It is, we have considered in terms of our Western Cape Community Safety Act, national has looked at the IPED Act, and so that is a challenge nationally, as members also alluded to, or Chairperson yourself, Gauteng has launched their crime wardens. There is, you know, oversight over some of the traffic officials, which isn't necessarily in place that Gauteng is facing. So it's a national challenge that we're facing. So that would be some of the policy changes we'd like to see. Currently, in terms of LEAP deployment, there is oversight by our department as it relates to the business plan and the transfer permit agreement. That oversight does happen both from an operational perspective and financial one. But then in terms of the city itself, the city has CIVOC and there is oversight over LEAP in that regard as well, and law enforcement in general. But we would welcome any input and intervention by the committee as well to take this forward on a national level. In terms of the challenges of conduct, in essence, the LEAP officers are in the main in terms of the supervisory and would follow. So they are employees of the city of Cape Town. And then in terms of the our oversight as well and our involvement, we chair operations. Meetings over the in relation to the LEAP deployment that is chaired by the Department of Police Oversight and Community Safety, because we have to ensure, as indicated, there is value for money, but then also the resources are being allocated to the areas where we would find the highest rate of murder or the highest incidence. Now, our policy and research team have also conducted evaluations of the LEAP project. We are monitoring through our safety dashboard, and then Lindy and the team are also monitoring through the financial monitoring together with provincial treasury, and then engaging with the city in that respect as well. We've done an extensive, also in-depth financial analysis of the city spend since the inception of the project as well, and this continuous engagement between myself and Executive Director Botto, and then also with the Provincial Commissioner as well. So we have oversight both on the operational level and the financial level as well. Chair, if you will allow me to bring the Chief Directors in, and then also our Acting CFO is also part of the meeting. David, if I can hand over to you, if I haven't covered anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, Chair. Okay. Speakers move.
Sir, you are audible. You can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Chair. I just maybe also want to emphasize, Member Maseko, that the delay in the business plan is an administrative process. It does not affect any LEAP deployment. So money is gazetted, but we have our business plan runs continuously. And then every year we got a TPA that needs to be signed, but it has to go to like four places in the city and then to our department. So, and HOD Pillar has now also instructed that that process needs to be done by the 1st of July. So we start earlier, and it's I want to say a legacy issue, but at no cost affects deployment. So also I'm looking at the ecosystem about the 16,000 arrests. So what we also do is many of those arrests are just basically fines. But when the firearm related or more serious offenses, we do monitor through the court watch in brief. So we do look at what happens when these cases go to court. And then we also analyze the dockets to see if there's anything that we need to amend. So that is done. And then also around the discipline, as you said, the command and control is, but we also now, LEAP officers will be specifically branded so we can also better track. And maybe an example also to explain part of the oversight role in our program, our TPA with the city will say that there must be 1,000 qualified trained LEAP officers. So we monitor that down to the name level. We actually then require a list of names from the city of the officers deployed that we are contracting for, and even we've checked vehicles to the effect of number plates that we procured. Now, HOD did mention about a while back that there was a problem with procurement of vehicles, but we've focused on finding the solution. So currently, while we're waiting for procurement, vehicles are hired so we can ensure operational and that these units are functional in the communities. So all this whole project is basically also problem solving solution and it's looking at innovation as well to cover. I thank you, Chair. I've covered the points. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Lily, do you want to add anything?
Thank you, through you, Chairperson. I think actually yourself and David has covered the 2 points. And just in terms of the oversight, we can also confirm that in our annual performance plan, we have specific performance indicators relating to the oversight function that we have. And very important that we've built very good relations with the colleagues in the City of Cape Town, which obviously makes it so much easier to do this oversight in terms of monthly financial meetings as well as operational meetings. And the finance officials are also part of the operational meetings to also just be the link in terms of the budget and the spending. And CPA then also allows for the department to actually request source documents to verify the spend on the city sites, which we have done, as HOD has mentioned. So that is also a method of monitoring and making sure that the spend is on track and spent on the right items. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, HOD.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any further questions, honorable members? If there's no further question then from honorable members, I don't know whether did I get the answer. Wait. I wanted to check HOD and the minister. Are there no threat of the unavailability of funds which might affect the continuation of the project?
Thank you so much, Chairperson, for reminding us of that very, very important question. The presentation highlighted that for the outer years, the funding has been allocated. So we have no doubt that between now and the next 2 years, it is in the outer fundings. And as long as I'm sitting in this particular chair, we will definitely, as a department, continue to advocate for the funding of LEAP to ensure that they work hand in hand with the South African Police Service and ultimately create extra visibility, but make sure that those criminals and perpetrators are actually caught, apprehended and convicted and be behind bars where they ultimately should be. But I can state categorically that the funding has been allocated across the MTF for the next 2 years. Lindy, are you just able to confirm that as well, your side?
Through you, Chairperson. Yes, Minister, we have allocation until 25-26.
Aye, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Minister.
Chair, you're on mute again, Chair.
Apologies. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister and the HOD and to the rest of the department. Once again, let me express my sincere appreciation for your availability and also for the presentation that is very comprehensive and also for the constructive manner in which we have actually responded to the question. Thank you very much for that. On behalf of the committee, I would like to express my sincere appreciation for your availability. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister.
Thank you so much, and may you have an amazing day forward and keep warm. And to all the committee members, Verens, bye bye, dankie. To all the officials, Mr. Dustin, thank you for all your hard work in working with the chairperson as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Minister. We'll be continuing with the work of the committee.
Are we going for coffee, Chair?
No. I think I wanted to check if everybody was supposed to be out, is already out in terms of the department.
Yes, Chair, everyone is out, Chairperson.
I think then the two other items really remaining will be for us to look on the subject matters. And I see also on the agenda, there's also the issue of the normal reports that we only normally look into. Can I then maybe request that maybe we put the issue of the ASAPEC, the last, let's just deal with the reports of the committee, Mr. David?
Chairperson, so you want to deal with the reports of the committee first, Chair?
Yes.
Not a problem, Chair. I'm just flighting that, Chair. I'm just checking that for you, Chairperson, if you can just give me a minute quickly, Chair. There we go. Chairperson, can you see the report, Chair, online?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, lovely stuff. Chair, just on this report, Chair, and just to take the committee members through it, Chair, it's the committee's annual activities report, Chair, for what the committee has conducted during the 2022-23 financial year. It's one of the prerequisites of the standing committee, standing rules of WCPP, that each committee must have an annual committee report, which must be adopted by the committee chairperson. So it's almost like a quarterly reports, Chair. So we have the, I've sent it last week to the members, but then there was not enough quorum to adopt these reports, Chairperson. But it has been sent to the members last week via email and WhatsApp as well. So, Chairperson, we basically have our membership and we've got our alternate membership. Like we do, we always say in Standing 101, what do as a committee, and then just the reporting departments, Chair, up until the 31st of March, which scope oversees all of the departments of the Western Cape government, including the entities under point 3, Chairperson, and we've also put under the newly Atlantis Special Economic Zone Company, Chairperson, because the committee looked at the annual report in October last year under the Department of DDET, Economic Development and Tourism, Chair, for the committee's activities for the 2022-23 financial year, Chair. That's from the 1st of April last year till the 31st of March this year. The committee had 21 meetings, Chair, and the committee attended 4 workshops or conferences, Chairperson. And that is basically your APEC meetings, etc., that was either virtually or in person, Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, what I've done, Chair, I've taken basically all of the quarterly meetings that we had, Chair, and I put them into each paragraph, Chairperson, just to highlight what the committee has done for the last financial year, Chairperson. Chairperson, also, Chair, we have put in just to highlight, Chairperson, if you are aware, members, that the speaker highlighted some of his strategic objectives for WCPP and for all of the standing committees, Chairperson, and we've actually put that in this report, Chair, where we say that in terms of the strategic plans, including the speaker's parliamentary priorities, the Public Accounts Committee encouraged public participation in all of its meetings, and there was also YouTube streaming, live streamings, etc., Chair, and that we've also met and we have good relationship with the Auditor General and with the Audit Committees in all of the departments and the entities of the Western Cape government, Chairperson. Then, as I indicated, Chair, it's basically just basically all of the term work that we've done quarter by quarter, Chairperson, that I just highlighted all of the meetings that we had and basically just indicated what was the agenda items, etc., for the quarterly meetings that we had, Chairperson. Chairperson, if I can just go to legislation, the committee does not deal with legislation like the standing committee's Chairperson. So there was no legislation. And then for the public participation, all of our meetings went to one public meetings. It was held open for the members of the public to join Chairperson. And even, for example, like this meeting, it's streamed on YouTube for public consumption, Chairperson. And of the 21 meetings, Chairperson, 13 of those meetings was for the annual report period, Chairperson, for the months of October and November. And then, Chairperson, just in terms of our finances, Chair, the committee was allocated a budget of 169,000, of which the committee only used 72,000, Chairperson. This is for the flights, etc., for SAPAC, etc., Chair, and that left the committee with a budget of 96,000 for the financial end of the financial year, Chairperson. So that is basically just, Chair, the annual activities report of the Public Accounts Committee, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. David. Honorable Maseko.
Thank you very much, Chair. So I just want to find out, and it might be just the question that is weird. We know we don't deal totally with the legislation. Why should our reporting include legislation while we know we will never deal with the legislation? Why is it important that it's in the report? But other than that, I propose the approval of our report.
Yes. Thank you, Chair, if I can answer that. Thank you, Honourable Member Maseko. Madam Maseko, this is basically just a template that all committees should follow, and that was approved via the administration in agreement with the Auditor General, because as the members know, that the Auditor General also report to their offices in Pretoria on the activities of all of the standing committees. So also members, if most of these reports are also posted on the WCPP website for public consumption. So it would only be fair for the members of the public organizations or just to know that this committee does not deal with legislation, and also just once again for the reminder for the Auditor General when they do the report back to Pretoria, to their head office, that our committee did not deal with any legislation. I hope that I answered the question, Madam Maseko.
You answered, but the response that is what is written under legislation, I'm expecting, because it's just a template to say no. Mm. The committee doesn't deal with any legislation. That's why during 2022-23 financial year, the committee dealt with no legislation. So it's like there might be sometimes we are going to deal with the legislation, but it's not like that. So I was asking that because based on we'll never deal with it, but what we are saying there is like it's a committee that doesn't want to deal with the legislation, but we are supposed to. You get what I mean?
Yes. How does that treat, member? Chairperson? Can
Thank
I just make
much.
A little bit bigger?
Thank you very much. I can see it's fine. Any second to the proposal of Honorable Maseko? Thank you, Honorable
second,
America.
Chair.
Thank you very much. Without laboring the point, maybe at some point on Mr. David, can you just, when you've got time, check the Public Audit Act, whether does it not have anything to do with the committee at some point, when you've got time, you know.
Yes. No, I will do that, Chairperson. Chair, if I can just stop sharing this document and then basically just share the minutes, Chair. I'm just having a look, Chair. So here we go, Chair. Would the committee like to deal in the order of last week, going back to our first meeting for this year, or from the first meeting to last week?
Well, is that in terms of the minutes?
Yes, in terms of the minutes, Chair.
So how many sets of minutes?
It's basically just three sets of minutes, Chair.
Okay. Let's deal with them then, maybe from the latest.
Okay. There we go, Chairperson. This is the latest minutes, Chair. Chairperson, honourable members. Let me just highlight my screen. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, this is the minute of last week, Chair, which is the 7th of June, and we have all of our members that were present. It was a virtual meeting. Chairperson, it's just Minister Wenger that provided an apology, as well as the head of Department of Provincial Treasury, Mr. Savage, and then Honourable Kanyile did a presentation. I've emailed him yesterday to ask him for the presentation because the members are waiting for it. On Monday. I'm still waiting for his response, Chair. As soon as he sends it to me, I will forward it to the members, because I was unaware that he was going to prepare a presentation for this meeting, Chair. Then, Chair, we just say that the committee deliberated in the inputs. And then, Chairperson, it was just the Western Cape Education Department, Mr. Eli, them that presented. And then we had the Auditor General, the Audit Committee and Provincial Treasury that spoke about the state of readiness, and then the componentization of assets. Chairperson, at that time, Chair, just after 4 point, this section, Chair, Honourable Member Maseko indicated that she will have to leave the meeting at 12 o'clock. I did not put that in this section here, Chair, but what I did put it under, Chair, it's under the consideration and adoption of the draft committee documents, Chair, where I indicated that you've tabled these documents, but it could not be considered due to quorum challenges, as Member Maseko, Seleka and Kasim had to log out of the meeting at 12 o'clock to attend another standing committee meeting, Chair. And then the same with the resolutions of last week, Chair, that the committee could not make any resolutions because there were technically only two members in the meeting, Chairperson, to basically end the meetings, and there was no resolutions taken last week, Chairperson. Chair, that is the minutes of last week, Chair.
Proposals for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable
America. I second.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The next set.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just share the second last document. Chairperson, this was for the 12th of April, Chair. It was in Committee Room 2. We had all of our members that was in attendance. Member Mkonlo joined by virtually.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, sir.
Chair, we saw the minutes. If maybe you can mention them with the dates and adopt them without going through them, we'll appreciate it.
That's very progressive, Honorable Maseko.
Very good. Very good.
We adopt this minutes, the date.
For the 12 members?
Yes, I propose the adoption of the minutes of the 12th.
Next second year, Byron Key.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The next set.
Chairperson, I am blown away by the progressiveness of the members. And then we just have the minutes of the 5th of April, Chair, as I indicated that I sent it to the members last week. And we just have two resolutions, Chair.
I propose the adoption of the what's the date?
It was the 5th of April.
Okay, yeah, the 5th of
Thank
April.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maseko. Second that?
Second year. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. That is about it for the consideration and adoption of the committee's documents, Chairperson, administrative issues. Chair, then it's just the SAPEC matters, Chair?
On SAPEC matters, I think from your side, you know that there's been the two conferences or the Council of Delegates and as well as the annual conference that's going to be on separate dates. Can you maybe quickly elaborate on those?
Chairperson, if I can just go to the SATCOPAC conference here, that will be in Durban. They have not given us a where it's going to be, Chair. That will be for the entire committee to attend with support staff, Chair. That's the first week in October. Normally, the annual report period starts every year in the second week of October, Chair. So that falls in the committee's favor, where the committee can go the first week to Durban for the entire week, fly back the Friday or the Saturday, whatever the committee decides later on, just before the time, Chair. And then we can in the following week, then we start with the annual report period, Chairperson, as per the annual norm. Chair, but for the for the COD meeting, that's next month, that's in the week of the 12th of July. I must indicate, Chair, by the 19th for the latest by Monday. But obviously after this meeting, I will indicate who the COD members will be. So, Chair, it's normally yourself as an executive committee chair, and then it is two members that will join you. I've already received, Chairperson, indication from Member Seleko and Member Maslodi Maseko that they are interested and would like to attend as the COD delegation, Chairperson.
Is that you finished?
Yes, Chair.
So, okay. Honorable members, as you see that for the SAPEC annual conference, it's and also the SATCOPEC conference is going to be the whole of the committee. And I think the procedural officer can make arrangements accordingly. Then for the COD is going to be three members that we mentioned. And I think also the procedural officer can just make arrangements accordingly. Is that in order, honorable members?
That is in order, Chair. Another thing, the SAPEC, there is two support staff, which I'm taking it for granted it will be Dustin and Lizette as always.
I think that's standard practice.
Thank you, Chair. Status quo remains.
Yes, yes. Now, then, honorable members, if there is no other issues before we might conclude the meeting, just to bring to your attention that, you know, today, and I think even the previous week, we had to cancel our a week before we had to cancel our SCOPA meeting due to the unavailability of the department and the minister due to other commitments. That was the Minister of Infrastructure and Human Settlement. But then I've subsequently made contact with him because I said they must give us the date instead of us giving them the date, because there seem to be clashes whenever we give them the date. So the date that he has given so far, I think it's the 27th of July. Mr. David, you will correct me there. But also today, we're also supposed to have seen the Minister of Finance and Economic Opportunities regarding WESCRO and DDAT. then unfortunately the minister and the HOD and the rest of the department could not be available due to prior commitment. So we have not secured a date yet for that. Hopefully we might be able also to maybe squeeze them in on the 27th of July, but that is something I'm going to negotiate with them. I just thought that I must just bring that to the attention of the committee. Honorable Maseko?
Chair, I want to ask, I should have asked, unfortunately we left. I wanted to ask now the way forward of the committee, because we got the chairperson from SAPEC addressed us about the issue of the financials, that what is our decision moving forward with the membership fee, or we'll discuss it later, or we can talk to it now to hear what are the other members say through you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Maseko, for raising that. We will just we'll deal with that now. But I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the members, the issue of the date. So we might have to see the department on the 27th. I think it's the 27th of July, Mr. Davis, that they've given.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, so if I want to, I will check if the Department of Minister Wenga will also be available on that date. Otherwise, if it's not, we'll have to set up another date. But I just thought that let me bring that to the attention of the committee. Then Honorable Maseko is raising a very pertinent issue regarding the issue of the outstanding fees that we need to subscription fee. As you know, that we have taken a decision as the committee that subject to us being addressed or spoken to by SAPEC, which subsequently we have been addressed by the General Secretary, and the issue of the invoice. And also I must say, I think at some point even, I think the Office of the Speaker has also been kind of approached regarding the matter as a concern, but obviously it's up to us as the committee to take a decision regarding that. Can I get an indication from members? Mr. Davids?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of the FAMPLA regulations, it states that the legislature must pay all invoices within 30 days upon the receipt thereof. Now, the only exception to that, Chairperson, is if a dispute is raised with the service provider or with an organization. So I have emailed our finance department, the financial manager and the CFO, to indicate to them that the committee has raised the invoice that they've sent us as a dispute, as a query, and they have put it in that specific register, Chairperson, just to cover ourselves and the institution. Otherwise, they have to report, WCPP will have to report in its annual report that that they were non-compliant due to a SAPEC invoice that the PAC couldn't resolve on, Chairperson. So at the moment, it is on that dispute register, Chairperson, until the committee can decide how are we going to move forward on this matter of paying the invoice or not.
Honourable members?
Chair, can I suggest something?
Yes.
That because the Chairperson said they are done with the report. So let's communicate to be a transaction we received and then we unblock. If we can request that we get those financial reports. The most important thing is just to get their financial reports. Interrogation of the financial reports will go to the SAPEC in the meeting, but we want to see something. Then it will unblock. Then it will be that transaction of, as soon as we receive, then communication can go to the speaker to say that we receive the financials, then the membership can be paid.
That agreed, members? Thank you very much, Honorable America.
Dimson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seleku. And now, if there are no further issues, Honorable members, that brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you, Member Mvimbi, Chairperson. Thank you, Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Member. Have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Sunshine and Cupcake. Thank you, Sunshine.
Thank you, Zeta.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Member.